dudes and lady dudes, we're back again with another answer of the week where we kick out what we like to call the question of the week. It happens every Friday. Joe Patrick puts it up and then we discuss your answers, both written and you can call us. You can do it at 402-819-4894 and we will play your answer to the question of the week on this damn show. That's why we call it,
it's like magic,
the answer of the week. Joe Patrick is obviously on the phone. We're doing this late night. We're both tired. I'm a little drunk, I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be a rough one. Joe Patrick, what did we ask these nerds this week?
When aren't you a little drunk?
Been a while, I'm not gonna lie.
This week's question was, what are your favorite and least favorite comic book retcons? And we talked about this on the show. For those that aren't in the know, a retcon is short for retroactive continuity, which is the alteration of previously established facts in the continuity of a comic. So, like, when Geoff Johns came to Green Lantern and brought Hal Jordan back from the dead and said, hey, you remember when Hal Jordan went crazy evil?
It's not what it was
all
like.
The Green Lanterns?
It's not what happened.
Wrong. It was a space bug that made him crazy. He's actually the same hero you always knew. That's a retcon.
And in that case, it was probably a good retcon.
That's a good retcon.
I don't think anybody's going to contact us to be like, I hated that. I liked it better when Hal Jordan went nuts and put out the sun.
I mean, Kyle Rayner fans are probably a little butthurt about it still.
I was a little butthurt about it, I'm not going to lie. But let's get moving on this. Should we start with a tweeter? That's where we normally start.
As always, we start with the Twitter. Whether or not we have any tweeters is irrelevant.
And remember,
if
you're going to tweet at us, hashtag THNAOW.
That's right.
Okay, don't forget that.
Our one and only Twitter answer for this week comes from Andrew Merzak, who says, the best retcon is probably Alan Moore making Swamp Thing a god. And the worst is probably Mama Mystique and Papa the Devil making Baby Nightcrawler.
That was a bad one. That was courtesy of Chuck Austin, as I recall.
That's right, from a little storyline called The Draco.
We found out that Nightcrawler's dad was a guy named Azazel, who was in fact the devil. And then he showed up in X-Men First Class, the movie.
I know. Giving legitimacy to the character for all time.
Yeah, the good news is Chuck Austin did not get paid for that. I will guarantee that.
Well, here's hoping. Moving over to Facebook, we've got a few. We're few in number, but high in quality. Our first answer to the question this week actually came from Jason Dotsenbrock, who is co-owner of Legend Comics and Coffee, our fine sponsors. Jason says, since I'm tired of beating the New 52 dead horse, for my least favorite, I'll go with the Beyonder, as it turns out, was an inhuman mutant. Thank you, Brian Michael Bendis. That is dumb.
Okay, maybe I'm a massive asshole. I didn't hate that.
No, that's dumb.
I didn't hate it. I totally didn't hate it. And I kind of liked the whole thing where, like, the Submariner screamed him down, like, you will listen to your king and everything. I thought it was kind of cool. No.
The Beyonder is not an inhuman mutant. That's stupid.
What's so weird about him being a really, really powerful inhuman? What's so weird about that?
They already had an origin. The Beyonder was a cosmic cube that gained sentience and became a cosmic being.
Maybe you just thought
that's where the Beyonder came from.
All I'm saying is I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. Call me a
jerk. I hate it.
Call me a jerk.
You're a jerk.
All right.
For his favorite, he says, my favorite would have to be the Invaders. And what he means by that is that the existence of the Invaders at all is an enormous retcon.
Yeah, huge one.
The Invaders did not actually exist in the 1940s Marvel comics.
That is correct.
It was the creation of Roy Thomas in the 70s. It introduced the idea of FDR bringing these characters together to fight Nazis. It's a great concept. It gave Marvel like a JSA-style team, and the Invaders are great. For honorable mention, he says Bucky. And I think what he means is the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Which is, of course, very famously, and spoiler alert, we should say right now, there's probably going to be some spoilers in this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, most of them...
They'll all be for really old storylines, so you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Yes, if you haven't read it, you are not doing your homework. That's your fault.
That's right. Ed Brubaker very famously brought Bucky back from the dead as a character called the Winter Soldier, the product of Russian brainwashing. Turns out the explosion didn't kill him. The Russians were able to preserve him.
This was during his Captain America run.
Yes, and it's so good.
It was amazing. It was a storyline called The Winter Soldier, and it was incredible.
For many, many years, I'd even go so far as to say decades, there was one rule at Marvel Comics, and the rule was the only two people that stay dead are Uncle Ben and Bucky.
We used to say that in the comic shop all the time.
And
back in the day,
Ed Brubaker,
like, only two people stay dead, Uncle Ben and Bucky.
And Ed Brubaker broke that rule and gave us one of the best Captain America stories of all time.
And the best part of it was we were all super pissed. We were all like, this is bullshit. And then we read it and we went, wow, this is good shit.
In the moment, yeah, it was very jarring. But looking back, man, that's a great answer.
Yeah, that's a real good answer.
Our next answer comes from Andrew McBruss, who opens up some old wounds. His least favorite is Norman Osborn sleeping with Gwen Stacy.
That was stupid.
Apparently, he was a tortured soul whose sexual magnetism she couldn't resist.
It was really dumb.
Or did that get retconned in Brand New Day? Because if it did, that's my favorite retcon.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think that still stands. Because, they didn't do anything directly to show us that, like, the twins weren't born and stuff like that. You know, like, Peter's...
Right. I mean, Marvel's company line for that was that everything you remember about Peter and Mary Jane's history is intact except for the actual wedding.
Right.
Which is a bit of a stretch, but whatever.
That was super dumb, though.
It was. That is a product of J. Michael Straczynski's run on Spider-Man, which for a long time everybody remembered, everybody thought was kind of great.
It was.
But in hindsight, I'm declaring colossally terrible.
Oh, man. I need
almost universally bad.
Maybe I need to revisit it, but like, I remember it being so good.
It's not that he didn't have good moments. The ideas that he tried to thrust onto Spider-Man just did not fit. We'll talk more about that a little bit later.
Oh, I see where that's going.
For Andrew, his favorite is the Supreme reboot done by Alan Moore for Image. Just toss away everything previous and move ahead with a reality shift. That's how you retcon and reboot. Yeah, Alan Moore recreated Supreme as this Silver Age Superman homage.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, Alan Moore's run on Supreme are some of the best Superman stories ever told.
Yeah, they really were. And there was no BS. He's right. There was no attempt at explanation. There was no nothing. It was just, this is the character. This is what's going on. Deal with it. And nobody cared. Everybody went, well, this is better than the shit I was reading. So,
yeah.
You know.
Moving on, the Buzzy Brown Brennan, the Triple B.
Triple B.
Says, I'm going to start by saying that I am not a New 52 hater. I'm honestly enjoying some of the titles, but let's face it, they missed the mark on quite a few beloved characters.
It's sweet of him to say that.
And while my choice for worst may seem minor compared to others, I've got to say this new Carrie Kelly pisses me off. She's just an insult to the character Frank Miller gave us in Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yeah.
If they're going to bring in Carrie, then bring in Carrie. Maybe they just wanted to get back at Miller for what he did to poor Dick in All-Star Batman and Robin. And I'm still upset that Cassandra Cain has yet to make an appearance.
Totally agree.
Speaking of Cassandras, I was recently reading something that referred to Cassandra Nova as a retcon to the history of Professor Xavier, since it was never mentioned before that he had a twin sister. That's true.
That is true. Now, to be fair, she was a twin in the womb that Professor X devoured.
She was some sort of psychic parasite something.
And she was so powerful that she survived it. It's what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Triple B says, if we're going to count that, then she gets my vote for favorite retcon. That was some serious Grant Morrison genius going on there.
It was crazy.
Brian Domingos' favorite is pretty much the same as my favorite, so I'm not going to read his.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about it later, but he does say that his worst is that Magneto wasn't Zorn. It was Zorn's twin posing as Magneto.
Or maybe Joseph. That's the best part of it. It may not have even been Magneto. He could have been Joseph, who was also not Magneto.
Brian says that that has to be the worst because Morrison pulled off the perfect reveal. The retcon was a sloppy, pussy move on Marvel's part, especially since they approved the story in the first place, only to negate it 5 months after Morrison left.
I agree with him.
Bonus negative points, having Chuck Austin be the one to undo it.
I totally agree with him. Right on, Domingos.
That's like getting kicked right in the dick.
Yeah, man. By Chuck Austin, no less.
Yeah. He does have a guilty pleasure retcon that he likes. He says, I love Superboy Prime punching his way through the walls of reality.
Wow.
It's such a crazy retro concept that was done in such a fun way. Even the Jason Todd thing was cool.
I guess there was somebody out there that had to like that.
You know what? I didn't hate it either, Brian.
Oh, come on. It didn't even make sense. It was such an excuse.
It is very silly, but it is very Silver Age-y and goofy, and I like that stuff. Brian says having Jason wake up in the coffin and digging his way out of the ground was hardcore. And our final response from Facebook comes from James Cassingham Randall. My least favorite retcon is that Wolverine isn't even a mutant, rather some sort of werewolf caveman dog thing. I don't know.
That was some stupid
So that's about the time I stopped caring about the old Knucklehead. The best retcon has to be Alan Moore and his deeply awesome take on Swamp Thing.
Oh, sure.
Alec Holland is dead, and Swamp Thing is a plant who dreamed he was a man. Such great stuff.
Everything right is wrong again, just like in a long, long trailer.
Let's move on to the voice messages. Once again, you can always call us with your answers at 402-819-4894. That is the Ziggurat direct line. This first one looks like it's coming from the king of Ask a Nerd himself, Mr. Aaron Myers. Put your hands together, folks.
Hey, guys. This is Aaron Myers, THN Love Slave, and also co-host of the Comics Therapy podcast, which can be found at comicstherapy.com.
Plugging his own show.
Question of the week, which is favorite and least favorite retcon. And I'm thinking, I don't really remember stuff more than, like, 2 weeks, so all I can think of is current things. But first thing that comes to mind for a favorite is in Karen Gillan's current Iron Man run, they kind of retconned Tony Stark's origin story, being sort of that he was genetically engineered to be kind of the savior of Earth by a super intelligent robot, which is executed so well. It's been a great story. So that's been a really favorite retcon that I can think of. And then, I mean, really, my least favorite recent one is the New 52 kind of overall. But I would say even in the last, like, week, the Lobo reintroduction, I don't know if we can consider it a retcon, but I kind of do, because Lobo had already been introduced in Stormwatch, and then they said, yeah, that's a fake Lobo, and this new Lobo, the real Lobo, is going to come to kill the old one. That's just so stupid. So that's what I can kind of think of, and I will... See you later. Bye.
I totally agree with Aaron Myers. The secret origin of Tony Stark is one of the best retcons that I've read. The Kieran Gillen story with the aliens coming to help Howard Stark because there was something wrong with Tony in the womb. And it just so happened that we needed this human savior. It was really, really good. I've enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I'm just a little bit behind. I do like that idea. And I love the idea of giving Tony's parents a larger role in the history of the Marvel Universe.
Moving right along, our favorite female listener, and she's only our favorite because she calls and the rest of you girls don't, Princess Ashley. Let's see what she had to say.
Hi, Joe and Matt. It's Princess Ashley calling with your answer to the question of the week. And the question this week was retcon's most favorite, least favorite. My least favorite is probably the retconning of Oracle entirely. I think Barbara Gordon was a much more powerful character when you stuck her in a wheelchair, which was such an amazing paradigm shift. And I was really bummed that they basically retconned 20 years of her being one of the most dynamic, the most essential female characters in comics, just so she could be Batgirl again when they already had Cassandra Cain being a really good Batgirl, and they basically squashed her out of continuity. So yeah, worst retcon, my vote probably has Barbara Gordon in the New 52. So hopefully no one's going to fight me on that. See you later.
Princess Ashley, I love you.
I don't know anyone that would disagree with that.
I'm professing my love over the internet right now. I can't agree more. What they did to Oracle is deplorable, and I'm going to go into it later. Hint, hint. All right, but I cannot agree more.
Thanks for calling, Ashley.
Coming straight out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm saying this is Nathan Bradford. I'm looking at the Google transcript. They are never...
Don't tell everybody where to find him.
They're never... Were they going to go there and be like, I'm looking for Nathan Bradford?
Greetings, Two-Headed Nerd. This is Nathan with my answer to the question of the week this week, which is retroactive continuity. Which is your least favorite, in my opinion? Okay. There's so many bad decisions to choose from. The entire New 52, in my opinion, is a bad retcon. Giving Wolverine bone claws definitely ranks up there. In my opinion, he shall and always will be just a mean little mutant with a healing factor that they just put surgical experiments on to give metal claws. But I think the most egregious is dealing with Spider-Man and him never being married. And in my opinion, it's basically a sign of short-sightedness as far as editorial and poor writing decisions that they can't successfully make a married couple seem interesting. I'm sure that Joe and Matt can attest, as well as I, that a nerd can be a productive member of society and actually have a girl and be married and happy. So to basically say that to be a single person and is the only interesting type of characteristic a comic character can have seems a little far-fetched. I think the three of us, as well as other listeners out there, can attest that married life can be a lot more interesting than single life. And to basically say Spider-Man has never been married, it just kind of is a, in my opinion, an affirmation of the age-old cliche that fanboys are people who live in basements and will never find a girl. Very far from the fact. A lot of us are productive members of society who actually got the girl. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Nathan f***ing Bradford, ladies and gentlemen, that was amazing. I totally agree.
That dude's got opinions.
I totally agree, though. Now, I will say, I'm barely productive as a married nerd, so I don't know if I'm, like, the best, you know, example of, like, guy who totally made it. I love my wife
very
much. And
your wife's not that fond of you.
Yeah, and my wife is not very crazy about me right now. We could bring her in here, and she'll be the first to tell you. But couldn't agree more. I think it was a total cop-out. I think the worst part about Brand New Day was the fact that it was just a complete cop-out. Because...
Right.
What is more interesting, Peter Parker single, going on a few dates? Because guess what? Peter Parker's not even around right now. He died. And the most interesting thing is that he's Doc Ock. So they didn't have some long view where he was single and hooking up with someone else. So I'm not buying that at all. What would have been more interesting was if, and I pitched this story a while ago. I'm just going to do it right now. I'm going to pitch it again. Joe Patrick's already heard this. Aunt May is dying. Peter goes to all these different people and says, you've got to save her. He goes to Doctor Strange and he says, do some fucking magic. And Doctor Strange is like, I can't. We can't interfere with stuff like this. And he goes to Reed Richards. And Reed Richards is like, look, there's things we can do, but we're just like scientifically extending her life. And she's not going to be the woman that you thought she was. I mean, maybe it's just naturally her time to go. And finally, Peter comes to grips with it and says, all right, I have to let my aunt go. She's 299 years old, or however old she's supposed to be. Because... Jesus Christ, she's been like 90 for as long as I can remember. He finally comes to grips with it, and he says, all right, I have to let you go. And he's in the hospital with her, and he's holding her hand, and he says, I love you so much. you know, you've been so great, and I was afraid that I'm going to lose you, and I'm going to lose something about myself. And she says to him, Peter, there's no way you could lose yourself. You've become more than me. You've become more than Ben. I only did the best I could to make you who you are. I love you. Ugh. She dies. Peter's crying. Oh, my God. Mary Jane comes in the room, puts her arms around him, and said, Peter, I didn't want to do this now because, you know, of what's going on and everything. I didn't want to ruin the day, but I'm pregnant. You know, like, one life ends, another one begins, and Peter says, oh, my God, really, this is happening? She says, yes. And he says, if it's a girl, we're naming her May. And she says, of course we are, Tiger. Oh, there's not a dry eye in the house, you know? It's amazing. Like, and then we get to see Peter Parker, the father, Peter Parker evolving as a character, becoming more. He's like, oh, a dumb old single Peter Parker is having a bad day. You know, we get to see him grow up and become something. Right. You know, it would have been amazing. And they skipped that. It was a cop-out.
Well, I mean, they essentially did this exact thing. They did that exact thing you're describing once already. They killed off Aunt May. Mary Jane got pregnant. And then before it could ever take a step forward... I mean, and this was in the heart of the Clone Saga, so maybe they just didn't really know how they were going to end it. But before they could move forward and try something new, they got cold feet and dialed it all back.
Yeah.
And Aunt May, you know, the Aunt May that died was an actress that we hired to impersonate her. And Norman Osborn's been alive this whole time and holding Aunt May hostage and blah, blah, blah.
Stupid.
The reality is that these characters... are much, much, much more popular than they were ever expected to be. And they were never supposed to be franchises.
True.
Right?
True.
I mean, they can never tell a story where Peter Parker grows old and has a life.
Right.
And have it be, quote-unquote, canon. Because Peter Parker will always have to be the iconic photographer for the Daily Bugle. Unlucky, can't hold on a job, blah, 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 blah.
18,
which is bullshit.
He needs to be 18 to 25 is what he needs to be. Somewhere
which, and I think is not giving fans the credit they deserve, but that's a different conversation.
I think it's also not giving the character the credit he deserves, but let's move on.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality of corporate comics.
Finally, from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend Sean X. And of course, he had something to say about this week's question.
Hey, nerds. This is Sean X calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Retcon, 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 retcon. Really, a lot of retcons never have bothered me, but I don't know, you might have to get the censor button out, get that queued up and ready to go. But I got to tell you, the one that really did upset me and made me realize that this was a real thing, it would have to be at the end of Grant Morrison's run of X-Men, where Jean Grey dies, spoiler. Magneto also dies. But then later we find out it's Zorn, another Zorn, an evil Zorn, who looked a lot like Mighty Meeks. And I think this is total bullshit. It was, I think Morrison had that story down pat. I think it would have worked. Anything after that was terrible. Magneto's been terrible after that. I mean, Fraction wrote him pretty well in Uncanny when he had a chance, but lately, he is ridiculous, and he needs to grow a pair. And another X-Men one, this is a small one, because I didn't really read ABX too much. But I was getting so annoyed by all the references to, like, from the X-Men, like, especially Wolverine, especially, about Jean Grey being, you know, the Phoenix. And you know, I read comics, I know what happened. She was in a cocoon at the bottom of Manhattan Lake or whatever it was. I can't remember the name of it.
The Hudson River.
But, yeah, that's another one that really kind of just rubbed me the wrong way. Because I kept referencing her as Phoenix when she really didn't have the Phoenix Force until Morrison's run. All right, guys. Thanks for letting me vent. I really think that Magneto should still be dead. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Later.
Sean, I totally agree. They kept referencing, you remember what it was like when Jean got the Phoenix, when Jean became the Phoenix. Jean was never the Phoenix.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
Which in itself is a retcon.
Yeah, it's true. She was technically never the Phoenix.
The Phoenix Force buried her in a cocoon, underwater, and she slept for 5 years while everyone thought she was dead. Jean Grey didn't know what it was like to actually be the Phoenix until Grant Morrison came around and did it up.
True.
I was kind of glad to not have Magneto be dead, but
yeah,
was handled very poorly.
It's a tough one, because I agree. I was also very glad to not have Magneto dead. He's one of my favorite characters. He's one of my favorite bad guys, and I honestly like him best when he's not being a bad guy, because he's such a complex
right.
character. But I agree.
And I have to say,
very poorly handled. Very
right.
poorly
and,
handled.
I think the reveal of Zorn as Magneto was really cool. I did not like Morrison's like manic drug addict Magneto.
Yeah, I didn't either. It just didn't work.
No.
Speaking of which,
but thanks for the calls.
Why don't we get to our own best and worst retcons? Joe Patrick, I know you've got one you're sitting on. Let's start with your best.
I do. As for my best, I mentioned earlier that Brian Domingos kind of mirrored my answer, and so I didn't read his. My favorite retcon, my most positive retcon in my experience, comes from James Robinson's Starman, where they reveal that, I'll set the stage. Starman, Jack Knight, is traveling through space with his friend, Mikhail, and a mother box that has taken the form of his dad. So it's like a hologram of his dad and his blue alien buddy and Jack Knight flying through space in a starship from the 18th century.
Mikhail. His blue alien.
Mikhail, yeah. And what they find out is that they have not only traveled through space, but also time. And they find themselves on Krypton when Jor-El was a teenager.
Yeah, this is an amazing story.
And what is revealed is that Jack and his companions are responsible for giving Jor-El the idea to send Superman to Earth. It like really, Brian Domingo said, it's perfectly summed up Jack's importance to the DCU, and I totally agree.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, and I agree with every point he makes here, that almost everything about Starman is a retcon that James Robinson added to the history of those characters.
Okay, I'll give him that.
That is a legacy that he built.
I'll give him that.
And then later on, you get the moment where Superman and Jack have a heart-to-heart about it. And then they rebooted, and now it's all out of continuity.
Yeah, it's gone. Don't worry about it. Didn't happen.
I know.
So what's your worst?
My worst is from J. Michael Straczynski's run on Spider-Man, and it's actually, if you look back, it's the very first thing he did when he came onto the book, where he revealed that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, super scientist, his life and his adventures have always been rooted in like sci-fi, and Straczynski revealed, no, everything you know is wrong.
Oh.
He actually taps into a vast supernatural totemic animal goddess.
Yes.
It's such a misstep for a character like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was just stupid.
To have that put on him.
It was just stupid is what it was. It was really dumb.
That is my vote for worst retcon. Honorable mention, the lamest retcon goes to Spider-Man Chapter 1, which came out a couple of years before Straczynski's run, where John Byrne decided to make Sandman and Norman Osborn distant cousins because they have the same haircut.
I forgot about that.
They have that same weird haircut.
Because they
haircut.
Both have cornrows.
They have the weird horizontal cornrows.
Okay.
And that was the first time I read a retcon and actually realized what was happening, and I went, wait a minute, what?
That's tantamount to the like Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas special where he goes into Magic Screen and Magic Johnson is there. It's like, Magic Johnson, what are you doing there? And Magic Johnson's like, Magic Screen and I are cousins.
That's oh, great. That's awesome.
Okay, my turn, and mine are going to be pretty quick because this damn show has gone on long enough. My best, I'm going to go with Garth Ennis on his Punisher from 2000. This would have been, God, I don't even know what volume, like volume 4 or 5, maybe 6. So this would have been right after a Punisher miniseries where we saw Frank Castle in heaven with an armory of the gods, basically, or the armory of heaven, and the angels were using him as a supernatural warrior, and it was one of the dumbest things ever.
He was running around the earth,
yeah, killing
demons.
They sent him to earth, but he was like Punisher for heaven. It was really stupid. I know Bernie Wrightson had something to do with it, but I don't think he wrote it. I can't remember who wrote it. It was bad.
Bernie Wrightson drew it.
And then Garth Ennis got around this basically in one scene where we see the Punisher, normal guy, throwing a mobster's son off the top of the Empire State Building, more or less saying for about 5 minutes there, I worked with the angels, but they found me a little uncooperative, so I'm back. It was such a perfect, like, it was the opposite of a retcon, because instead of over-explaining or spending, you know, pages or coming up with some clever explanation, they just went, ah, that sucked, we're not doing that anymore. I loved it. It was perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even a retcon.
Yeah, it's an anti-retcon, and I loved it, because it's perfectly Garth Ennis, because he's such a jerk. Worst? I'm going Oracle, hands down. Barbara Gordon.
Oh, I do agree.
Barbara Gordon was one of the most interesting female characters, not just in the DC universe, but in comics, period. Because not only was she a female character, she was a crippled female character that became way more than anything she ever thought she could be because she was so intelligent. She found a way around her handicap and became like she, the Justice League used her for information. They counted on her. Batman worked with her on a daily basis.
They made her a member.
Yes. She saved their lives on a daily basis. She was incredible. And to fart that away just so that they can put her into a black latex suit in a book that I don't even read anymore because it's not that good. It's such a waste. And I agree with Princess Ashley. I loved Cassandra Cain. I loved that character. And they still,
I agree,
to this day, haven't explained what the miracle was that happened to Barbara Gordon that made her get up and walk again, other than she got better.
Right.
She got better.
Yeah, it's Barbara Gordon did much more good with the internet than she ever did with a batarang.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And more people know Barbara Gordon as Oracle than I think remember her as Batgirl. For 25 years, Barbara Gordon was not Batgirl.
Yeah.
She was a completely different character. So where is this like mythological demand for Barbara Gordon to get back into the cape and cowl?
Right.
I understand. You want to tell me that a character doesn't exist in a new continuity? Yeah, okay. I get it.
You're right, right.
But to say that all of this character development, all of this wonderful stuff that we've done to this character is now negated?
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's stupid.
Almost, I'd rather her not have existed at all.
No, I agree. I agree. Because it's just dumb. It's a waste.
Yeah.
Great question this week, Joe Patrick, as always. I love that you come up with these. Guys, as always, we post the question of the week every Friday, and you have until the following Tuesday at approximately, I'm saying approximately because that time can change, but approximately 4 p.m. Central Time. You can reach us at 402-819-4894. Please, please, please call us, and thank you to everyone that did call us this week. Great answers. We look forward to hearing more from you guys, and of course, we'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comicast up this weekend. Can't wait to hear from you guys again. We'll talk to you all soon.
Adios, muchachos. When my life was changed the day I first touched the mic, this is the retcon. The future's never gonna be the same. This is the retcon. Don't rewrite history again. This is the retcon. Happens back to settle the score. This is the new event back at your comic book store.